myself. I can't afford to be. This is small town music. This is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away. A song away. A song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis.
And I'm Mike Siegel.
And today, Mike, we're socially distanced at about 9 feet.
Yes. And back in the studio, the new Rock Solid studio, official studio.
This is the official studio right now. Is it too chilly in here right now?
It's lovely.
Because last time you were here, we were hot.
Yeah, no, you got it back working.
Got it working.
How much did that run you, can I ask? It was just it's not the whole house, right? It's just this upper part.
Mm-hmm.
Can I guess?
Go ahead.
Oh, $8,000?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because they had to replace the unit there's two units. There's the main unit for the
main house.
The main house. And then there's a unit that is on the roof in the back of the house, which is for upstairs.
So they had to climb up on the roof.
And they had to replace it.
Ugh.
Here's what they brought a crane.
Oh, boy.
Here's what the guy told me. He goes, it'll be about $1,500 to fix it. He goes, but that unit's 19 years old. He said, and I can only guarantee our work for a year. So you decide what you want to do.
Right. So it didn't, I mean, if you're going to be here a long time.
I don't think we're leaving.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where are we going to go?
I know.
That's what I mean. When people come to the house, realtors will come and knock on the door. And they'll go, hey, a lot of people in your area are selling their house. And I just say the same thing every time I go. And then where do I go?
And you do what everybody else is doing. You go to Arizona.
Yeah.
You go to Montana.
Not going.
You flee.
No. Here's where we're at. We've got a nice.
Buy a condo for $10,000 in Vegas.
We've rented houses in the past before we moved here. And we would always eventually outgrow them and then have to go to the next place. We have not outgrown this space. And we're not having any more kids, and we're not getting any more pets.
Don't rule it out.
So we're trying. We're trying.
Does Pilar know?
No, she's asleep.
she has no part of this.
She's asleep. But so I mean, that's what it is. We're not going anywhere. No. We haven't outgrown the space. So
you got a nice house.
Yeah, we enjoy it.
So. Well, the AC feels lovely.
Oh my God, it just feels great. All right, so before we start. Is the term minimalist, is that a negative term to you, or don't you mind that? You like
no.
it?
No. You're obsessed on this. I don't know why.
I don't, because I have so much stuff.
Yeah,
and
but
I imagine that it's liberating getting rid of stuff.
It is, kind of. And watching Graham, who's moving this week.
He's getting rid of
tomorrow,
tons of stuff.
Getting rid of everything, you know, and it's just like, he's finding these little things, the bureaus of stuff that he didn't even remember he had.
I know.
Dishes, pots and pans, like things he never used. And I'm watching him go through that and just going, okay, if I did that every year, then when the time comes to move, I don't have to.
Right.
And then makes room for other stuff. But I did, you know, I got it down pretty. See, I don't mind. You have a lot of stuff in here, but it's not clutter. You know what I mean?
It's accessible.
You've laid it. Everything has a place. And it's put away and it's nice. And if I had to climb through stuff to sit down here, that would drive me bananas.
Now. We do have some clutter here.
Take care of these blankets. My OCD.
Here's the thing. Ezra is getting a new hardwood floor in her room.
Oh.
So everything is out of her room right now, including
her stuff?
These linens and that TV. So there's only so many places I can hide it until the floor's finished.
That's Ezra's TV?
So that was Kyle's TV. We put it in Ezra's room when they had their top surgery last year so that they would have something to watch.
Uh-huh.
While they were recuperating. So that's what we got.
I used to lie in my room praying for a television for my own. And there was, my parents said, no way in hell are you going to have a TV in your room.
I had a paper out when I was 13 and I saved up my money and I bought a portable black and white TV. I only got two stations, but those came in good. And it was about, I don't know, it wasn't tiny, tiny. It was like a 12-inch screen maybe. And they said, yeah, you can buy that with your own money. And I think it was $129. And it was great. I loved it.
Yeah, they were just afraid of me just sitting in my room watching TV all day and not doing my homework or whatever. And I still screwed around. I was listening to the radio and music and reading comics or whatever it was.
Any kid that has a phone now has a TV in there.
Yes.
Room. Everyone.
Yeah.
iPad, computer. You can access anything.
But it's amazing how it's like, this is probably a 50-inch screen.
Yeah.
And... The one I have in my place, like a tenant in my old place left it.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't a smart TV, mm-hmm. but it's like a plasma. It's like a 52-inch plasma. It still works. It looks great.
Yeah. Is that what you have
that's
in
what I still
apartment?
Have in my...
Yeah.
But it's not going anywhere because it is the heaviest. Like, these things are so thin.
Oh, I carried
and
that up.
Now.
I carried up the stairs by myself. It's nothing.
My TV's a two-man job. Right? Yeah. It's like, and I'm going to leave it to the next person, or I'm going to say, hey, anybody wants it, come get it and bring a friend because you cannot...
We had a giant analog TV, big box
tube,
thing,
like,
up here.
Yeah.
And Kyle and I could barely lift it to the ground. And then we got it to the top of these steep stairs. And I was like, what do we can't carry this down. So we literally like wrapped it in a bunch of blankets.
And rolled
it? And we just kind of just like banged it the whole way down and then struggled to get it to the curb.
And where'd you take it? Just put it on the curb?
Put it on the curb and I called for a bulky item pickup.
Oh, yeah, so, like Graham had some furniture and he was just trying to give it away. And some of it was like a table or mm-hmm. something. You just couldn't give it. I said, just put it in the alley.
Yeah.
That thing will be gone in a day.
Yeah, people will take it.
Absolutely.
We had a full length mirror that we didn't need. And I put it in the recycle bin. And Pilar goes, what if someone comes by and just smashes that? I go, it's going to be gone in 2 hours.
Yeah.
And it was.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because there's nothing wrong with it. It was just, we don't need it.
Does your neighbor have a Facebook page? It's like give and take, like mine does.
Yeah, yeah. They have a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. I've been given, my friend had a Razor scooter that he had in his, you know, from his kid.
Yeah. We got rid of loft beds and the girls.
I put it out in a day. Somebody says, come get it. Boom. They just came and got it. It's great.
All right. So here's why I brought this up.
Oh.
Anytime I give you something, it's like a tchotchke thing, a mug or Billy Idol. And so it's just and so it's not stuff that you really
it's a stuff.
Need.
Yeah, right. I don't really.
But I got you something.
Oh no.
I got you something that
booze?
You use. It's not booze.
Oh, okay.
It's good. It's for your health though.
Oh, what is it? A shake weight?
Okay, here's what it is. Now don't tell me you have a water pitcher. I don't want to hear it because I want to tell you. I got you a zero water pitcher.
Okay.
Have you heard about this?
No.
Do you have a water pitcher at your house?
I do have a Brita.
A Brita. Okay. Here's what I want you to do tonight. Here's what I want you to do.
Throw away the Brita?
You'll throw it away, but here's what I want you to do. Fill up a glass with tap water.
Okay.
Fill up a glass with Brita water, and then fill up a glass with the zero water. And then this comes with the thing. You turn it on and you stick it in, I don't know what, it's a meter, a water meter.
Okay.
You put it in the tap water, it's going to give you a rating. You put it in the Brita water, it's going to give you a rating. And then when you put it in here, it's going to say zero. Because this is the purest water you'll ever drink. So this is for you.
Do you work for the company?
I don't. But I bought one of these for Chinnery. I've sent one to Kyle.
Well,
I love
you.
It.
That's very nice.
And when you look at I don't know what the water's like in Santa Monica anyway.
And the water's crap all over LA.
Yeah. Not anymore, Mike.
Thank you. Well, that's nice.
Not with zero water.
I could use that.
Yeah. And one person, the filter's going to last a long time for just you.
I wonder if I could take that on my road trip.
And pee in it, and then it comes out crystal clear water.
Like Kevin Costner in Waterworld.
Yeah. So there you go.
Thank you very much.
So you're going on a road trip tomorrow, going to Montana.
Montana, Wyoming, my last two states. I'm going to be finished with America.
Yeah, I think I think I have like, I don't know, maybe six left.
Yeah, we're just going to, me and a friend of mine, we're going to just get in our cars. He is might keep going, but as I said, it's like two Priuses. This is the lamest version of Easy Rider I've ever heard in my life. It's just two guys and Priuses driving up to Montana and Wyoming.
Cannonball Run 4.
Oh, man.
So
California plates. That's just asking for an ass kicking. It's literally going to be Easy Rider.
Well, yeah, slap a rebel flag on the side.
Yeah, there
fine.
You go.
How far of a drive is it?
Well, it's far. I mean, we're going to try to make it. It's about 16 hours to Yellowstone.
Okay.
So we're going to try to make it to Salt Lake City area the first day.
Is that how far?
That's about 10 hours.
And that's a lot for
that's a lot
for the first day. But you know, having just done a road trip,
it's doable.
You can do it.
We did it. We used to do it all the time.
I know.
Isn't that crazy how much we did?
It makes me tired. Just thinking about it makes me tired. All right. So usually we do up front about 25 minutes of chatter, but we're not doing that today.
We did a lot of chatter anyway.
You went on a fishing expedition. You caught some fish and you brought it over and we're going to grill it up because you got like, what you said, like 40 pounds of fish in your freezer.
It wasn't that much, but I had a lot. Right. No, the fish, one of the fish, the one I reeled in was 40 pounds.
Oh, okay, great.
That was my back still hurts from reeling that. That's,
does it really?
It's hard, man. It's really hard. They put up a fight, those fish.
You don't use a harpoon?
No.
Have you eaten any of the fish?
This wasn't a whale.
Have you eaten any of the fish?
Yeah, yet? And it's delicious.
How did you do it? Did you bake it? Did you do pan fry it?
I've done ceviche. I've done poke.
Mm-hmm.
I've done grilling. I've baked it.
All right.
All well, you, good.
You've been eating fish all the time. I'm
so much fish. We'll
try not to fuck it up on the grill today.
Mercury poisoning.
We'll grill some up. Okay. Going to get started. And you had a COVID test. Did you get your results yet?
Yeah, in 24 hours. It was great. I got it yesterday. It's negative.
I wish you would have said positive.
Positive.
I got it. All right. That's good to know. Pilar's had one and Ezra had one. And
it was a mouth swab. That's what I
got. Yeah. And Rita and I, well, that's what they told you it was. Is that a glory hole they do the mouth swab?
yeah, positive for herpes. So I got that.
Okay. Well, we won't eat off the same fork. yeah. So Ezra and Pilar have both had COVID tests. So, and Rita and I have only been around them. So everything's, we're all fine.
No, I mean, I didn't, only because, like I said, I came out of my bubble a little bit last week. I went to Big Bear with my COVID circle and then I was on that charter boat.
Yeah, so you just want to, it's just peace of mind.
Yeah, and plus I might stop and see some friends on the way back from the road trip, so I just want to be...
Yeah, and then if you did get it, you'd go, well, you could trace back. Well, here's the people I were around, so that's good.
Yeah.
And it was free, right?
Yep, as far as I know.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
We didn't get a bill for Pilar.
Yeah, it's supposed to be free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it through CORE? That's Sean Penn, that's Sean Penn's thing.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's doing more for us than the administration. Yeah. Okay, no politics. Okay, so we're going to call...
Totally awesome!
You dick!
You
That's
dick.
What you would say if you were negative. You'd go, you dick! Dick. okay, today we're going to cover the catalog of Joe Jackson.
Yes, and who we have seen live.
Who we have seen live. Was that the only time you ever saw him?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
We saw the Fast Forward tour, I believe.
And we went with the concert. Wife was with us. You didn't sit with us, but we hung out. You got a seat like last minute.
Yeah, the Palace Theater. It's still the only time I've been at the Palace Theater downtown. One of those beautiful old movie theaters on Broadway in downtown L.A.
He was fantastic.
Yeah,
he was so
speaking
good.
Of AC. Yeah,
oh, it was hot.
You said your guy. Remember how hot it was in there?
It was really hot in there. What
happened? Your AC guy. It's just a. Old building from the '20s.
I forgot that it was hot there.
Yeah, it was a little warm.
So we're going to cover most of these albums. We're not going to cover something called Night Music or Heaven and Hell or Symphony Number One.
Those are instrumentals.
Yes, and then he has an album called The Duke, where it's all Duke Ellington.
Yeah.
So we're just going to concentrate on the main Joe Jackson albums,
which he has plenty.
He does have plenty, and man, this guy's fantastic.
Yeah.
Listening to these albums again was a treat. I was really into it. I'm like, oh, because you have so much music. So what do you pick and choose to listen to?
I was impressed with his band on the first few albums.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And he's very much like Elvis Costello. Like their first two albums have this sound. And then after that, they kind of start not doing that sound anymore.
And Graham Parker.
And Graham Parker, too.
They were all lumped in the same kind of angry young men in the late 70s, but they all came out of the same scene. And his first couple albums, as we'll see, I picked a couple songs that were just like, they sound like Graham Parker could be singing them or Elvis Costello.
Yep. It's all that same type of a sound, but it sounds so good. All right, so let's start with your list. The first album's Look Sharp, 1979. Two albums in 1979.
You're not going to see that anymore.
No. And not two fantastic albums.
Yeah,
these are
great.
Both great albums.
Yeah.
All right, so what do you got for us first?
This is one of my favorite songs of his. This is a hit called Sunday Papers.
All right, here we go. Did I say it? And there we go.
And here we go.
Mother doesn't go out anymore. Just sits at home and rolls her spastic eyes. But every weekend through the door. Words of wisdom from the world outside. If you want to know about the bishop and an actress, if you want to know how to be a star, if you want to know about the stains on the mattress, you can read it in the Sunday papers.
I should have brought that one in for the bass episode.
That's a good
bass. That's a good bass line.
You know, it's when you do an episode like the bass episode, I mean, who...
There's so many.
You can only really remember, you know, like the ones that really, really stick out,
right.
Even though so many songs have great bass lines. Now, my first song, or my one song from Look Sharp, because one of my songs, it's going to be the play out, folks, so when you don't hear it, you'll know why.
Mm-hmm.
But I picked a song called One More Time.
Tell me one more time as I hold your hand that you don't love me. Tell me one more time as teardrops start to fall. Shout it to me and I'll shout it to the skies above me. But there was nothing after all.
Very new wave.
Yes.
And you wouldn't even know he was like a piano man. You know what I mean?
No.
It's just like those are,
no.
It's a band. That is a band.
And in some of these older clips and stuff of him, he's not like parked behind the piano.
No, he's standing.
He's standing. So it's, yeah, it's interesting.
I don't know. I brought the title song. I don't know if we should play it. Should
yeah,
we play it?
Yeah, we'll do it.
Yeah, why
Look
not?
Look sharp.
What you say? Tell me what they're wearing this year. Go on and laugh at me, 'cause you don't see that I got something going right here. Say I'm just a dreamer, say I'm just a kid. Well, hey, shut your face, maybe you will see or hear.
This album went to number 20 in the US. It only went to number 40 in the UK.
Really?
Doesn't seem right.
I think the second one did a little better.
It did, it did a ton better in the UK. That I'm the Man goes to number 12 and hangs out at number 22 in the US.
Well, I think the big single and the hit off the first album, which I guess is your play out.
Yes.
It got reissued, I think I want to say a couple of years later, that hit the charts, maybe here or there.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it was the single, but it got like a second life, I think, later on.
Yeah. Is She Really Going Out With Him? That was the first thing I ever heard from him. And
most of us.
And I thought it was great.
Yeah. That got played here.
It sure did.
But I don't know how well. Did the album go gold? I think it did.
I don't got any stats on that. Wikipedia is not throwing me any stats on the album sales.
79. Mm. And then he had an album. That came out early 79.
And
this
is October 79.
Yeah, the next one. I'm the Man. This is a great album. I picked three songs from here just because
you wanted to.
I couldn't decide.
So what's your first one?
On Your Radio.
Has the same problem image-wise that Elvis Costello and Graham Parker have.
Yeah, they're nerdy. They're not
they're,
the most
they're
attractive
nerdy guys.
Man.
Yeah,
they were not MTV faces.
No, not at all. And Joe Jackson's had some surgery.
Yeah, he had some face work done that we found shocking when we saw.
It's pretty shocking when you're sitting in the top tier of the Palace Theater and you can tell.
Yeah,
no need for it.
No.
All right, I'll go with the title track, I'm the Man.
Oh, I love the song. I was hoping you'd play it.
Pretty soon now, you know I'm gonna make a comeback. And let the bars and the bees and the trees, it's a short pass slang. I'll speak to the masses, to the media. Yeah.
would think if there's anyone out there that has never heard Look Sharp or I'm the Man, when they hear these songs we're playing, they're going to want to go out and immediately download those
albums. Yeah, those are good starters.
Yeah.
Right there. So I have a couple more. I don't know if you want to blast through both of them. Okay, the first one I had forgotten about. This one's called Kinda Cute. I just liked it because it was a different kind of sound. And this one, I think, sounds like a Graham Parker song.
Yeah. You make my trip and stumble. Absolutely it does.
Oh, yeah. Just go dance by yourself again. I'll just watch. Because that's all I want to do. But remember that I'm here with your drink and my table for two. And you're kind of cute, baby. You're kind of cute, baby. I see you dancing in a satin suit, baby. When you move, gotta sit right down. No competition with this kind of cute crowd. Oh, yeah, Nick Lowe is in the same crowd as well.
Nick Lowe's in the same crowd, too.
It's all the same era.
Let's do F, Mary, Kill with these guys. when we saw Joe Jackson, he came out first on piano and played like a couple songs with piano. And then another member would come out. Mm-hmm. I forget if it was the drummer or the bass player. I think it was the bass player. Then it
bass
was
player.
Just keyboard and bass. Then the drummer. Was there a guitar player?
Yes.
There was. And then he came out last, I think. Mm-hmm. And that's how they did it. And it was pretty cool.
Yeah. It was a nice way to do it.
Let me see if I have another song off here. Yeah.
Well, there was one hit. I think this, well, It's Different for Girls is the one I picked. And I think that was a pretty big hit in England.
Let me tell you.
Not as much here.
Number five.
Yeah.
In the
UK.
It
might have been his highest charting until Stepping Out later. But.
And for us, in the Hot 100, it went to 101.
Yeah.
So that's not even in the top 100. But yeah, this is It's Different for Girls. To be sure you're feeling right, wanted to be sure we want the same thing. She said, I can't believe it. You can't possibly mean it. Don't we all want the same thing? Don't we? Well, who said anything about love? Don't I know, she said. All right, moving on to 1980, Beat Crazy. Now, this one's not as good as the last two.
No, it isn't. I was going to say, I actually had trouble finding two that other than the title song.
Yeah.
Did you bring you're going to play the title one? Because I brought two others.
Yeah.
And it was hard. He talks about it. He's like, it was like a, that third album thing where it's like you burned a lot of your stuff on the first two albums.
Why did they release two albums in 79?
I don't know.
Idiots.
Yeah. So they were really into, there's a lot of ska and reggae on this. And he said, we were just into that stuff heavy at the time. I was just really into it. And I think this is the last one he does with the original band too.
For a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is, this one's really hard to find on CD too.
Beat Crazy, really?
Yeah, it's really hard to find. Yeah. I mean,
probably because it wasn't as popular.
Yeah, you can download everything, but
yeah.
Okay, here's the title track.
This one is good though.
Also, he produces this one by himself after working with an A&M in-house producer, David Kirschenbaum. And this one doesn't even have the same sonic fidelity as the last two.
And I think after this one, he admitted in a interview that the band was kind of like on each other's nerves. Everything was fraying,
It's got a great album cover, though.
It is cool.
The Beat Crazy album cover is really cool.
I think they just burned out. It's like, the band had been together for a while. It's like, I know these guys since I was teenagers. It's like, do we have to still stick around now? And you can see, as we'll show later, that his sound, he wanted to change. He really wanted to change.
And he does.
Oh, yeah. But I brought one.
What do you got from Beat Crazy?
someone up there.
That's about God.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. Someone up there got me drinking, got me drunk, and made me put him down. The way you looked at me, I knew that we'd be coming to an end. It happened just by chance. Good, but yeah, the production drives me nuts because the other two albums are just so...
They jump out at you.
And they're so perfect. And I feel like an album called Beat Crazy needs to really, you know, do that.
Yeah. Well, he had different beats. It was just wasn't the beats we were looking for.
No.
And probably the record company wasn't, and the buying public wasn't looking for it either.
And my next song off Beat Crazy is One to One. Try to call you yesterday. This gives you a little taste of what's to come.
Yeah, there's the piano.
You were at the Monday Club or a communist demonstration. Who cares? You're going somewhere every day. Vegetarians against the Klan. Every woman against every man. Never won.
This sounds like it could be on Night and Day.
Yeah. More jazzy.
Yep. It's the odd man out, definitely, on Beat Crazy.
Yeah. Because we didn't play really any of the ska. I had one called Pretty Boys.
Right,
is that a ska kind of one?
And he Joe Jackson, I think, is homosexual, correct?
He is bi. I think
he's bisexual.
In his autobiography. He was married briefly for like 2 years to a woman and called it a disaster. And I think his autobiography, he talked about maybe being bi.
I didn't know he had an autobiography.
Yeah, it came out 2009, maybe. Yeah.
Look for that one. Put it on my shelf with the other ones I don't read.
That's right.
Don't forget.
Yeah, and then you hand it to me.
Yeah. Don't forget to pack a book on your trip.
Oh, I got a couple of yours.
Did you read it? Did you start any of those yet?
I read the Beatles A to Z with the Peter Asher book.
Yeah. Is that good?
Yeah. I mean, he's got a million stories.
I can talk
to you. He lived with Paul McCartney, you know, because Paul McCartney dated his sister.
I did not know that. I
guess Jane Asher.
I need to read the book.
Before pre-Linda, that was his girlfriend for years.
Wow.
During Swinging London. She was an actress. Yeah, the Asher family, it sounded, I think they're comfortable, as my grandmother would say.
Maybe I can get him as a Patreon supporter.
Yeah, and that's why, I mean, so when Paul was in town in early 60s, would stay at their house.
So it wasn't difficult then for him to convince the Beatles to release James Taylor's first album.
No, he was put in charge of like an executive there. And so
at Apple Records, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he messaged me back, so I should actually get on that, right?
Yeah, you should.
And wasn't he was in Peter and Gordon?
Yes, he's the Peter in Peter and Gordon, and they're...
Wait, Peter Asher was the Peter in Peter and Gordon?
No, he was the Gordon, okay. Obviously.
What was their big hit?
Well, it was a Paul McCartney song.
By the way, if I do get Peter Asher and I interview him, you'll never know.
You should read that. I should have brought it back.
I have four copies here to give away. You'll never know that I don't know a lot about him when I interview him because I do my homework.
It was World Without Love. I don't care what they say. No, I won't stay in a world without love.
I don't like your version.
No, come on.
Were you in musical?
That wasn't bad. Yeah,
were you in musical theater?
But right. that was a McCartney song. Hey, thanks, Paul, for our number one hit. Here, you can have that, Peter.
That's like he gives Come and Get It away.
Yeah, I got this in my wallet.
Yeah, here's Come and Get It, Badfinger. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Don't you want this one? Nah.
Nah, we got a million of them.
All right, Pretty Boys.
Okay. Someone else's war, your baby blue eyes, somebody else's wish. There's our ska.
Yes, definitely. Equal success. Pretty Boys. On my TV screen. Pretty Boys. So white, so clean.
I mean, this is the time when the specials are coming out, the English beat and all this other stuff. So you can see where it was the thing in the, you know, late 70s.
Yep.
The Clash was doing this stuff.
How about in the Go-Go's documentary? You watched that, right?
Yep.
when they're opening for the are they opening for the Specials?
Yes.
And they're just getting spit on. Oh my god.
Skinheads.
The black member of the Specials, the guy they kept interviewing, he was really smitten with one of the Go-Go's, but I forget which one he was.
I think it was the drummer.
Yeah, Gina. Yeah, he was really, that was real. I really like that part of the
documentary. Now, he might have been barking up the wrong tree on that one, I think.
What do you mean by that? All right. Next, if you thought the record company wasn't happy with Beat Crazy, they couldn't have been happy at all with.
This is what we call a 180.
Yep. Jumpin' Jive.
But he, you know, saw this whole thing coming in the mid 90s.
Yeah.
Because Big Bad Voodoo Daddy,
Brian Setzer Orchestra. Yeah,
and Swingers, that movie.
Yeah, true.
He preceded all that. He made a Jive album.
This is these are 40s covers, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is fun, but it's not one I would pull out and I didn't pick any song. The two songs
that's your thing.
That's your thing, right?
Yeah.
But then if that's your thing, you might just listen to the real guys.
Yeah, that's true. But I like Jumpin' Jive, the song, the single.
Well, I picked the exact same okay. Two songs you did. So here they are.
Boys, what you gonna say down there?
Our boys,
what you gonna say down there?
Palomar, Shalomar, Swanee Shore. Let me take that jive once more. Boys,
take right on down to the
gate. Oh, boys,
gotta take a side elevator.
Can't you hear those heavy cats call? Come on, boys, let's have a ball.
Jib, jab, jump, it's a jumping jive.
Makes you dig your jive on the mellow side.
I mean, he's good at it.
Yeah, but, you know, on the radio is My Sharona. What is the record company saying? It's like, hey, I don't know.
Yeah, Billy Joel has You May Be Right on the radio. And then and coming up, Jump and Jive. Here's Jack, You're Dead.
It's fun.
When you got no more assurance than a great big hunk of lead, if you don't respond to romance, Jack, you dead. When a chick is smiling at you, even though there's nothing said, you stand there like a statue. Jack, you dead. You've been always kicking, but you stopped your toes when you upset kicks.
This is one of those things. It's like, you know, Sting talks about this. I mean, these guys were classically trained musicians,
right?
And they had a lot of influences. And you can be an angry young man for so long. And then it kind of looks, you get into your 30s and it's just kind of like, what are we so angry about? And your tastes change.
Right.
And so Sting, you know, he was a punk guy or labeled that.
Yeah.
And now he's, you know, strumming a lute.
Yeah. Now he lives in the castle.
But, you know, your tastes change and you just outgrow. You're not as angry as you used to be as a young man.
You know? Your musical taste matures. Yeah. That's why when you're 40, you get a Steely Dan album. Okay. Now, after all that, the label's probably like pulling their hair out, and then he gives them Night and Day, and they're like
his biggest album ever.
And he's like, "We love you again, Joe. Joe, you're our number one. You're our number one guy."
Yeah. Well, he moved to New York, I think, and this is his. He made this about New York, basically
an ode to New York.
His New York album, and it had a huge hit on it. And which one are you playing?
Well, I'm going to play Steppin' Out.
Yeah, that's the big hit.
Yep.
MTV played this a lot.
And this doesn't seem like music like that MTV people would enjoy.
But the synth is kind of Berlin, you know? That
yes,
kind of?
You're absolutely right on that. But he does not look like Terry Nunn.
Oh, no, he does not. Or Flock of Seagulls, now that we...
yeah. Love the album cover of this too.
Yeah,
I took that with me that night, but there was no sign of Joe Jackson anywhere.
That's funny. When studying up on him, in terms of the Wikipedia and everything, they talk about this new British invasion that supposedly happened in the early, you know, late 70s and early 80s.
Yeah,
because mostly early 80s, because it was like this combination of American radio really hadn't embraced you know, they were running out of, there was like the anti-disco backlash. Mm-hmm. And all this stuff, and classic radio really hadn't come up.
There wasn't classic rock yet.
And no. They were running out of, and all of a sudden, and then MTV starts.
Yeah.
And so MTV needed videos to play 24/7. They needed videos.
Yep.
And the Brits had been making these promotional videos for a lot longer.
Yeah, Bowie made them.
Yeah, for Top of the Pops and all these other shows and videos. That's what they did. And so they had no qualms about it. So radio was not playing British acts here.
No.
They just weren't. So all of a sudden, the radio station is getting calls from kids about videos they've seen on MTV,
right.
And they didn't have them. So they're like, all of a sudden, they started playing, and then Duran Duran, and all these things just started coming in.
Duran Duran, that's got to be the number one video band that MTV created.
Oh yeah,
but yet they're talented. It wasn't like they just, you know.
The only guys that had videos here is like Rod Stewart had videos. And,
I know, and Pat Benatar.
Yeah, they were playing the same five ones.
Yeah, Rod Stewart had them, and Rod Stewart's British, so he knew the value of making those clips.
And most of the other ones were all just concert clips.
Yes, yep.
You know, did Van Halen even make one till 1984?
They have three clips from Fair Warning, Unchained, but they're live clips that were from Pasadena.
Live stuff, yeah.
Yeah, so...
So they fought it. American bands fought it for a while. It's do we need videos for?
Van Halen made a legit video for Oh Pretty Woman, but MTV banned it because it had a guy in drag and it had some midgets. So it was never even really played. So
Little People?
Yes, you're right. You're right. Little People.
You can put that in the jar for Ezra. You can put that one in.
Little People. Sorry. Okay. You got a hit from Night and Day also.
Yeah, Another World.
Here we go.
And they have the other one, even bigger.
Yeah, that's the one I was referring to.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
Almost made me give up trying. Always said no. Then I turned around and saw someone smiling. I stared to you.
I'm gonna go right into breaking us in two.
All right. This is one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's so good.
Could we be much closer if we tried? We could stay at home and stare into each other's eyes. Maybe we could last an hour.
Some of these songs, the instrumentation is very sparse. Like,
yeah.
We can hear everything going on.
It's not a huge orchestra.
No. All right, and let's go right into my second song, which is Real Men.
Oh, yeah.
Which had a video on MTV.
Take your mind back.
And this is about,
yeah.
Some of his tendencies.
Sometime when it always seemed to be just us and them. Girls that wore pink. Boys that wore blue. Boys that always grew a better man than me and you. What's a man now? What's a man mean? Is he rough or is he rugged? Is he cultural and clean? Now it's all changed. It's got to change more. Cause we think it's getting better, but nobody's really sure. And so it goes, go round again. But now and then we wonder who the real men are.
Yeah, he throws out the derogatory word for homosexual.
In character.
In character. But just like in Money for Nothing.
Yes, yes.
So,
but that was a big hit, right? It must have gone platinum or more.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
Let's see where these songs went.
His
on
biggest
the chart.
Selling, I think, of his biggest selling album of all of them, right?
I would assume. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't give me those stats on Wikipedia, which is weird, but it does tell me where the singles charted. And Stepping Out, number 4 in the U.S., and Breaking Us in Two, number 8 in the U.S.
Right.
And then he's only got one more like top 20 hit, and that's on coming up on Body and Soul.
Right.
So yeah. Not not as much, not as, like we call them hits because they're his most famous songs, but not really, a lot of these aren't chart hits.
No, he never had a number one or anything like that.
And if he was going to have it.
Neither did Nick Lowe or Graham Parker or any of them, really. Did Elvis Costello even have a number one?
I don't think so. But I feel like Joe Jackson, of all those guys, his music was on the radio more or in our face more because of MTV, maybe.
Yeah. The Steppin' Out got a lot of mileage on MTV.
Yeah.
But afterwards, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he always was working. You know, we never like stepped back.
Yeah, he's always doing something.
Yeah.
And I think this afforded him the money to do stuff.
Enjoy New York.
I have a song from the Mike's Murder soundtrack.
Okay, I didn't put any on that.
No, that's okay. I just took one and it's called...
Do you know that movie? I don't even know the movie.
It's with Deborah Winger and I think I did see it, but I don't remember anything about it.
And he had like, what, five songs, six songs or something?
He did the whole soundtrack. He did the incidental music and he has like five legit like songs just for the soundtrack. This one's called Memphis.
Oh, this is a great song.
Yeah. If it'll play, it's great.
Sweet.
They released Night and Day as a 2-CD deluxe edition, and Disc 2 had all the Mike's Murder songs on and
some
remix stuff.
So it was right at the same time.
Yeah, 82, 83. So now we're moving on to 84, Body and Soul. So he's very prolific.
It's a follow-up. It's a follow-up. I mean, it's tough. It doesn't do as well as the other one, but, you know,
it's got
didn't do badly.
Got great songs on it.
Yeah, and one of my favorite songs of all time.
Which is it?
Well, the second one I have listed.
So let's do Be My Number Two.
That's it. Yeah.
And I'll tell you how I misinterpreted this.
And if you got something to say to me, don't try to lay your funny ways on me. I know that it's really not fair of me, but my heart's seen too much action. And every time I look at you, you'll be who I want you to. And I'll do what I can do to make a dream or two come true. If you be my number two.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's a great song.
And he kicks into a big orchestra thing at the end.
But I misinterpreted these lyrics because I put this on a, I think I put this on a mix CD for Pilar once.
Uh-huh.
And Be My Number Two is, it's not really romantic. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like I thought Be My Number Two was like, yeah, like I'm number one and you're number two.
Me and number one are through. That's the first.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's the line I didn't pick up on.
It's just like, yeah, we're done with the old one. It's like, you don't have to do much. Just, you know, smile when I feel blue.
Yeah. You're my...
Second choice.
You're my rebound. You're my rebound girl. Yeah. Would you be my rebound girl? That wouldn't have gone over well.
But it's also the sentiment that we all have a past. We're all damaged in some way.
That's true. This is another...
I'm looking for the number eight. How about that?
Would you be my... Here's You Can't Get What You Want
till
you know what you want.
This made the radio.
Sometimes you start feeling so lost and lonely. Then you find it's all been in your mind.
It's weird that I've always liked like his music because it's not rock and roll per se.
Yeah, the early ones were.
Right.
You see, it could be you and me, but if
Like if George Benson sang this, you wouldn't be surprised.
It would be number one.
Yeah.
And Steve Lukather would have played on it.
Right.
Out of all the guys we have mentioned that we've lumped in with Joe Jackson, I believe he has the best voice, though.
Yeah, maybe. You might be right.
Now, I'm not saying it's...
For what it... It's more... He can do more with it.
I think he can do more with it. And you know...
He wasn't out of place singing that and then a piano ballad and then the punk songs earlier.
Now, you might like... I like all the other guys' voices, but yeah. I just feel like he has the best of the lot.
Right. I can't picture... Nick Lowe singing that.
No.
Elvis Costello? I don't know. Maybe.
I think they only crossed like with the punk stuff.
Maybe.
Elvis and Joe.
Although Elvis had a little, he had some big band things he was doing.
Yeah, yeah.
He croons a little bit.
He does croon. You're right. What's next for you? Okay. Oh, okay. This, maybe you'll get this in one of these in Montana.
Happy ending. By a buffalo?
Well, that's a story to tell, yeah. Certainly.
That's a travel tale, folks. Do I listen to my heart? Do I listen to my head? Do I look at what I see or remember what I read? When I tell you how I feel, do I wonder what I've said? Is there nothing we can do about it? Anyone can be so hard-hearted, but that's a duet with a singer. Oh,
Elaine Caswell.
Yeah, I didn't know.
By the way, I should note that Night and Day and Body and Soul, he went back to working with producer David Kirschenbaum, and you can tell.
Yeah.
I mean.
I wonder if the record company went, hey, thanks for the jive. we have another guy. We want to bring back the other guy.
Yeah, just try him. Just see what happens.
Thanks for the ska and the jive, but let's get back. Let's get back to the business here.
I had another song, but we're going to move on.
Let's move on
to Big World. This was like a double album.
This was recorded live in front of an audience that were told not to make noise.
Yes.
Which is... I don't know why. I mean,
well, here's the deal.
In one way, it's kind of a genius that you get the live feel,
right?
But none of the nonsense.
And here's the deal: if the people in the audience have never heard these songs before, there's not going to be a lot of noise.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be like, oh, these are all songs we don't know. They're good songs, but
I wonder if they clapped in between. Maybe they were told not to even clap.
Maybe they clapped in between
and they cut it out.
Yeah, maybe they gave him like a signal, like when the band was like, bam, bam.
Right.
And then it like pointed, okay, now you can clap.
The applause sign up in the light.
So what song do you have on Big World?
Wild West. This made the radio a little bit. Keep
pushing on when your friends keep turning. It does sound live,
yeah,
though.
It does. And you keep building towns and laying railroad track. And things get crazy and you have to use that gun. And you wonder if this is the way the West is won. But keep thinking that way and you won't get nowhere. Cause you got a right just to get where you're going to. Gotta keep running, gotta be the best. Gotta walk on the wild way. Got some aggressive acoustic guitar on that. Yeah. And also, you got to be a good band.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To pull that off, if you're going to, we're going to record this. You better nail it.
Yep. And this got some radio play. This is Right and Wrong.
Oh, yeah. Right. Stop everything. Think I hit a president. The Pied Piper of the TV screen. It's gonna make it simple. And he's got it all mapped out and illustrated with cartoons. Too hard for clever folks to understand. Yeah, they're more used to words like ideology. But they say it's not the issue.
Says the track sequence differed between the compact disc, the LP, and the cassette.
Oh, yeah.
So it had different, like, track listing on every one of those? That doesn't sound
Right? Was it a three-sided album?
I think it was a three-sided album.
Yeah, and the fourth one, the fourth side, just had a label that said, this side has no music.
Right, and it was like smooth.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't own the album, the vinyl LP, but I remember seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have another one.
Soul Kiss.
Maybe you get that in Montana.
Yeah. With the happy ending?
Yep. To go right into my last pick from Big World called Hometown.
Oh, I remember this one too.
Yeah.
Of all the stupid things I could have thought, this was the worst. I started to believe that I was born at 17.
Good tune.
It is.
So then he disappoints the record label again. Does an album called Willpower where it's instrumental.
Instrumental
and it's
again.
Classical. And I've never heard it. I just don't feel like that appeals to me.
No, we're okay with that.
Yeah. And then he did the Tucker soundtrack, the Francis Ford Coppola film Tucker, The Man in His Dream. And then I think he's still on A&M Records.
Yeah.
For the album.
One more on A&M.
Yeah. I like that much.
Yeah. There's
Blaze of Glory, but there are songs I like.
Yeah. There's two songs on it that I really like.
And I picked the same two songs you picked.
Okay.
And,
but
and then I have
skipped,
another one.
We skipped our, I didn't write down my favorite one. I don't know why. I probably thought you were going to write it down. But I've played it on the show like a number of times, I think.
Favorite song, what, on this album?
On this album, yeah. Down to London.
I have it.
Okay.
Yeah, let me do it right now. And then we'll do your two. Yeah.
I'm a sucker for a good Motown beat, you know. This is a great song. I played it before on this song.
What's that sound? It's the death rattle of this rusty old town. Stop. Listen again. It's the sound of laughter all along the town.
Great song.
Yeah.
Yeah, like this album has highlights, but as an album, I don't recall loving it.
Yeah.
Maybe I should listen to it again. Maybe I'll listen to this week.
Right. Well, I brought 19 Forever.
That's
which
a great
was
song
kind
too.
Of a little song. Kind of a hit, I think. A Joe Jackson sized hit.
Exactly. That's a good way to put it. It was a single.
It was a single.
Those
yeah.
were the two singles. Down to London.
Yeah.
And this one. That made me want to find out how old Joe Jackson is. He is
born in 54, was it?
54. He's 66.
Yep.
He just turned 66 on August 11th. Happy birthday, Joe.
Happy birthday.
I hope you didn't have any surgery for your birthday.
Oh, man.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Like, he didn't need... Like, here's the deal.
It was never about his looks to begin with.
He was not an attractive guy, but he wasn't like... He wasn't like... like
no,
he looked
it wasn't.
But after the surgery, I feel he's kind of hard to look at.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a little rough.
It's jarring. It's so pulled. Like,
yeah.
It's so tight. I just don't know what goes. It was like when I saw when I met Barry Manilow up close. It was like, I'm like, oh, dude.
Yeah, I interviewed Burt Reynolds. That was tough. That was tough up close.
Yeah, they tighten that up and then they throw a tube on top.
Yeah, oh. Shirley MacLaine a little bit too.
How great looking was Burt Reynolds?
Ah,
with a mustache. He rocks a mustache. He gets away with it.
It's hard to grow old gracefully that way.
Yeah,
I respect the ones who do. The whole key about surgery is to make it look like you didn't have it.
Right.
Like, you know, like Diane Keaton and Meryl Streep probably had little nip and tuck
here.
Yeah,
look,
if
Meryl Streep's had it done, I don't know about
right.
it.
Right, and we don't look at Meryl Streep and go, what, I wonder who that is.
No,
like, you know,
that's the
when
worst.
When you stop looking like yourself, it's done. It's done. Did you see Stockard Channing recently? I saw a photo of her. Oh,
no. Rizzo, the 40-year-old high school student?
Yeah.
Looked really bad.
Sorry, French. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go on a tangent here because we're talking about age. Schmitty and I watched, that's Mike Schmidt. We call him Schmitty.
Yeah.
We watched a couple of movies last Monday. We watched Out on the Patio, Social Distance, Don't Yell at Me. We watched The Carrie from 1976.
Okay.
It's one of my favorites. I love it. Still holds up. But we're just like, I'm like, these girls don't look like high school students at
25.
All. So we're looking up their ages. Edie McClurg is one of the high school students.
No.
She's 30. She's 30 when it was made. Betty Buckley, who's the gym teacher, she's 32. She's 2 years older than, and it's not like Edie McClurg looked 18. No, she looks 30.
Yeah.
They're all in their 20s. It's crazy. Cause like Rita popped out and said hi to us. And then I go, okay, pause it for a second. We pause the movie. I go, okay, Rita's in 11th grade. Did they look at all like, he's like, no, that's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But the reason I think they use the older, well, I guess they're women in the movie, but they're playing girls, is because
it's sexual.
Because there's nudity. There's nudity in the.
Yes. Yeah. But I mean, most high school movies, if there are nudity and stuff like that, all those 80s things, they were probably in their 20s, early 20s, though.
Yeah.
At least 30. That's why Stockard Channing, she was older. I mean, and what's her name? Gabriel Carteris from 90210.
Yep. She was in her 30s.
She was way older. And I think Luke Perry was older too.
Yeah.
And noticeably.
Yeah. You could just tell.
The Disney shows, they're actual teenagers.
Right. When you have the forehead creases, you're not a teenager.
Right.
As Siegel rubs his forehead.
I know. It makes me think of it.
Should we move on?
Yeah. So now the 80s are over. I think he's done with A&M as well.
Yep. Let me see who released Laughter and Lust, which I like a lot. Virgin.
Yeah. So now he's moved on. The 90s are here. We're in the grunge era.
Yep.
And this music is probably not being played on the radio.
Not at all. Let me play my first one, Stranger Than Fiction. I love this song. I really like this album. This was a surprise for me, this album. Mm-hmm.
Can you help me try to find my baby's house? It's 3 in the morning and the pouring rain. I can't find a house and I forgot the number, but I gotta give her these roses to relieve her pain. Don't leave, just tell me you've been there before. So we fight, but we fight every evening. I tell you, every morning I just love her more. Disasters and friction, and life can be strange, but love can be stranger than fiction.
That's a good song.
Yeah, I like that a lot. So the bass player that he uses, Graham,
maybe.
It seems like he's been there for almost all the albums, and he was on Marshall Crenshaw's first couple albums also.
Yeah. What did I bring in? Let me see.
Have
The Other Me.
Let's hear it.
And the single, I have also.
You have the single also. Here's The Other Me. Go right into the obvious song. That's the other one you picked.
With okay.
Who was a rock and roll millionaire from the USA, doing 3 to the gallon in a big white car. And he sang and he sang till he polluted the air. And he blew a lot of smoke from a Cuban cigar. And the stars are looking down through a hole in the sky. And if they can see, they cry. That's obvious. And the walls are coming down between the west and the east. You don't have to be a hippie to believe in peace. That's obvious. It's obvious.
Then he does a cover of a Peter Green Fleetwood Mac song called Oh Well, which is amazing.
About the shape I'm in, I can't sing, I ain't pretty, and my legs are thin. But don't ask me what I think of you. I might not give the answer that you want me to.
I like that version.
I do too. Okay, so this was 1991, and now for the next 9 years, it's stuff that I'm not interested in.
Yeah, it was I think it's one of those things where, okay, now he's getting into his late 30s. He's going away. I can't get on MTV. I can't get on the radio.
Right.
I made a nice album. Nobody's playing it.
Right.
So, I'm just like, what? Why don't I just do what I've always wanted to do?
Yeah.
Or I got to think that you don't do something, all of a sudden do classical soundtracks without...
Without loving it your whole life.
Or without telling the record company when you sign that this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
They must have cleared it with Virgin. I don't think you just pull this on them.
Yeah. So he does Night Music in 94. He does a thing called Heaven and Hell in 97. He does Symphony Number 1. He's threatening us with that number one.
Yeah.
Threatening a number two, which hasn't happened yet. And then in 2000, he does a sequel to Night and Day. He does Night and Day 2. And it's not as good.
No.
Like many sequels. But there are... There are a couple of solid tunes on it, and you actually picked the exact same two that I picked.
All right.
So let's get into these. We're going to hear Hell of a Town and then Stranger Than You. So here's Hell of a Town.
It's a hell of a town. Getting drunk on the tears of a clown. It's a hell of a town. Stepping out in a bulletproof gown. So get out of my goddamn way. I'm walking here. I'm talking here. I'm walking here. I'm talking here.
So the album covers the same territory musically as Night and Day does.
Yeah.
It's just the songs aren't as good.
Yeah, I agree. It's about New York. And
yeah, but I wish the album cover would have been more a sequel to the first album cover too. You know what I mean?
It's just shot out of, I think it's from a taxi.
Yeah,
it's looking out the taxi window,
and it's fine. But if you're gonna do a sequel, do it like Bat Out of Hell 1, 2, and 3 did it.
Yeah.
You know, really, really do it.
And looking back, it's kind of weird because the Twin Towers are in the
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
But this came out in 2000.
2000, so. A year later? Yeah.
Oof. Okay. Then Stranger Than You is a really great song.
Yeah. Chinese Elvis and hoisted a few. He
talks like Mickey Mouse and sees with X-ray eyes, lives in a cardboard house. I almost gave him the prize till you came along. That's who opened me my eyes. Things you do, right or wrong, it should come as no surprise. When you live in a town where there's always somebody stranger than you.
All right, then there's a 3-year break. He's now on Ryko Disc.
Yeah, it's so we're done with Virgin.
We're done with Virgin. Now here's this is a miraculous thing for me because so often what he does, he puts the original band back together.
Yeah,
this album's called it's credited to the Joe Jackson Band. It's called Volume 4 because
it's technically his fourth with the band.
The first since Beat Crazy.
Yeah,
and a lot of times when people do that, we're going to put the band back together, and then it doesn't live up to what you had hoped. But this one, to me, does.
I like it. And I think what happened was that I read that he had done some little things here and there with like some live events or something, like a little band reunion. And they said, this is fun. And I think he had the songs. And he's like, why don't I just bring you back?
Yeah.
Instead of doing like a rehab, doing the old songs, I would just do the new album.
And I mean, I think it really works. Yeah.
It's fun to rock again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's another thing. Like these, you always like, you think if the Police would make a new album right now that they would rock. And then if it didn't, you'd be like, no, I thought they was going to sound like Outlandish Day of More, and it doesn't.
Yeah.
So what song do you want to start with from Volume 4?
I had Still Alive.
All right.
Turn me upside down, turn my inside out. That's alright. You made me laugh and made me cry and made me shout. But that's alright. But something keeps on beating in there. I guess my heart survived. I know I said I couldn't live without you, but I'm still alive.
You hear how the piano is not even there almost?
No. And then I'm gonna go with my first one is Take It Like a Man.
Oh, okay.
This one rocks too.
There's
piano.
Okay, there it is.
Kicks off the album, so you're immediately like, oh
yeah, this is not Night and Day.
Oh,
it's like Night and Day.
It's
different.
Yeah, it's different as Night and Day.
Yeah, I had a single, the Dirty Martini. Did you play that one?
I got Dirty Martini.
They'll give me. I could use one of those. That sounds good right now.
I like a martini. I don't know why.
I like martini. I don't like them dirty. I don't like olives. There you go.
You get an onion in it.
I got a twist, a lemon twist.
Sweat. I heard a rumor about a Cajun band. Dirty Martini. The bartender says it's early yet. Wait, the bartender says it's early yet.
Tell me what's in a martini.
It is, well, the classic one is gin.
Okay.
Well, you fill up a shaker full of ice.
Okay.
I think two parts gin, 2.5 parts gin, and then dry vermouth, a little bit of dry vermouth. And if you want it dry, that's less vermouth.
Okay.
Vermouth. But when I was bartending, people asked for a dry martini, I would not put any vermouth in it, and they never sent it back. It's basically all just, you put it in ice. And, or here's a little tip for people. If they like it dry if you taste the vermouth, that's when people send it back. If they taste too much vermouth.
Okay.
and that'll ruin it. So you have vodka or gin. Classic one is gin. You shake it up. Well, unless you're James Bond shaking, not stirred. But classically, you're supposed to stir it. And then you strain it into a chilled martini glass and an olive.
But it's a bitter drink, right? I find it to be bitter.
No, well, it tastes like booze. If you like the taste of booze.
Yeah, I like a sweet.
You don't like to taste your alcohol.
I like a sweet drink.
You're like
a
girly sweet drink. I like a nice pina colada.
I like a Mai Tai.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a different cocktail.
Or a Long Island iced tea.
Yeah, you're a tiki drink kind of guy.
Yeah, load up the booze and then sweeten it up.
Rum,
for me.
Little rum, little fruit juices.
Yeah, rum and Coke.
No, that's martini's a drink. When you want to drink.
Yeah, like I can't.
I like the taste of vodka, so.
And you like to drink the bourbon too, right?
No. Well, bourbon, I like it better than whiskey. Like, scotch, I don't like. I tried often.
When I watch a TV show and they just pour some whiskey in a glass and drink it, I'm like, come on.
Well, if it's good whiskey, it should be great. You know, it's smooth and...
I've never had good
whiskey. Yeah, you've had crap.
Is Southern Comfort good whiskey?
No. It is not.
That's what I like.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on 5 years later to an album called Rain.
Okay, so what's happened here? He left New York.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons he left New York was the smoking laws.
Yeah, because he's a big smoker.
He hates the anti-smoking laws.
He's pro-smoking.
Yes, he is. In public.
Yes.
And so he moved to Berlin. And so he's been, I think he's still maybe based out of there.
All right. Whatever works for you.
But it's been like a 5-year layoff, right? But this album, I love.
I love it too.
And it's a different sound. It's a more mellow sound. But man, on a Sunday morning, you pop that in and it's
a great album.
It's great.
I highly recommend the album called Rain from 2008. What do you want to start us with?
Rush Across the Road.
Around the Rosies?
Can't even read my own writing.
See 300 girls that just want to kiss one. Someone that we've loved before. There's a love forever. But I never thought you'd floor me again. Maybe I should rush across the road.
Smoke.
Berlin's a great city, though. Berlin is awesome. But
how many times have you been to Berlin?
Let's see. Well, the first time I went, it was the last summer of the Berlin Wall. I was there in '89. That was my first trip out of the country ever.
You went to the wall?
I went through Checkpoint Charlie. I did it all, and I stayed with a guy in West Berlin who grew up there. Guy in his 20s, and he grew up his whole life in West Berlin. And I asked him. I said, "Do you think this wall's ever coming down?" He's like, "Nah, I can't see it." And then 6 months later, I'm watching TV. They're smashing it. I'm like, oh, my God.
Did you call them up? Say, give me a piece of that wall. No. I need that wall.
This is pre-web. I wouldn't know how to find them. But it was amazing. When you see something like that, like history moves fast. So I don't, in terms of countries and things like that, borders change.
There was two Germanies
when I went there. There was a Czechoslovakia. There was a Yugoslavia. There was a Soviet Union. There was no... European Union. I was changing money every... Wow. That's just in my life. That's, you know...
Bill Murray and a bunch of his buddies went into Czechoslovakia once. Come on, it's Czechoslovakia. We're out.
They had an urban assault vehicle, though.
The song that kicks off the album is called Invisible Man. I really like this one. Mm-hmm.
Hey, can you hear me now?
Smoking has not affected the voice.
Yeah.
As I fade away and lose my ground, maybe you'd like to know what I'd have to say if I was still around.
Okay, you want to do one more on this one?
Yeah, I played this before in the show, but I just love it, so I'm going to play it again. It's a Place in the Rain.
All right.
Take down the pictures and take out the trash. Take up the tattered old rugs. Take up the mattress and count all the cash. And laugh with the last of the drugs.
Love that song.
Yep. Good album, people. Mm-hmm. Get it. We recommend it.
Rain, 2008.
So now we're jumping to fast forward
fast
to
forward.
2015.
7 years go by. Another 7 years.
And he's on labels Caroline. At this point, record labels don't really matter to some of
he's
these
60,
guys. Whoever's gonna you know, release it is cool.
There's no money in albums anymore. No.
But this is interesting. It was originally gonna be 4 EPs.
About 4 different cities.
Yeah. First 4 songs are New York, were recorded in New York. Second 4 recorded in Amsterdam. Then the next 4 in Berlin. And the last 4 in New Orleans.
Yeah. London.
Not London.
Interesting.
Not London. So what do you got from the album Fast Forward? And I like this album a lot too.
Yeah. And I took one from the New York side, which is a cover of an old television song.
Mm-hmm.
See No Evil. I actually like the original better, but I like his version of See No Evil.
Written by Tom Verlaine.
Tom Verlaine.
And it's a whole lot more than anyhow. I want to fly. Fly a fountain. I want to jump, jump, jump. Jump a mountain.
Gene Simmons sings it.
Oh.
I'm not sure which city I took my song from. I got to look.
My second one, I'm not sure of the city.
My first one is from Amsterdam. It's called A Little Smile.
Just a little smile will straighten it out. Yeah, even fight like this. You got to start somewhere. Not with a kiss, maybe a little word following on from another word or two. Put them together, soon we can break on through.
Mike, you stayed in your old stomping ground. Both of your songs are from New York.
Are they both New York?
Yep.
Oh. See, I just knew it. See?
Yep.
It's in the blood. Once you live there.
Your next one is If It Wasn't For You.
Yeah.
I could do better sleeping at night. It's so difficult to forget every stupid and meaningless fight. You say go away. And I say it's fine with me. Then I want to stay. Nowhere that I'd rather be.
With better planning, you would have taken 2 songs from 2 of the cities, and I would have done the other 2. But instead, the way we did it, New Orleans gets cracked.
We could have covered every city.
Yeah, because I'm gonna cover Berlin right now with a song called Junkie Diva.
Junkie Diva.
This album a lot. I really like Fast Forward,
and it was a good tour, good concert we saw.
Yeah, and then it was the Fast Forward tour, and here we are. Then we get to 2019, which was last year.
He was just in town, and I didn't go. It sold out quick.
It sold out really quick because he plays like,
I think it was at the Orpheum.
He doesn't play big venue.
No,
I guess he would rather play a venue like that and sell out. But I think he could sell out two nights, maybe.
Maybe. It depends on the time of day. LA, I think he did two nights when we saw him.
Yeah. In L.A., I think he could.
I was surprised he didn't do two when we last year when he was here, because I think he did two when we saw him in 2015.
The Orpheum's nicer and bigger than the Palace. The Palace seems like...
That's the only... I didn't even know the Palace existed.
I've never been there again.
Yeah, no, me either.
It's kind of low rent for a Joe Jackson, in my opinion.
Man, maybe he got a deal.
Yeah.
Maybe he got a deal.
So 2019, he's 40 years into his career. This was one of my favorite albums from last year, Fool.
Yeah.
I loved it. Eight songs.
We gave it some love, I think, on the year-end thing.
I like it better than Fast Forward, even. And it, I got a little, this is interesting. Recorded the day after the end of his Fast Forward tour.
Yeah.
And they recorded it in Boise, Idaho. I mean, is there even a recording studio in Boise, Idaho?
Sure. I mean, you could, well, nowadays you could put up a recording studio anywhere.
That would have been the place to meet them in Boise, Idaho.
They're partying at the end of their...
Oh, my God.
I guess maybe before, hey, let's get this down. Because I think the Fast Forward tour is pretty long. I saw it on the website. It went on for a while. And they broke for a while, went back home, started again. So this is the very end of it. So they had a couple years worth of songs ready to go, probably, that they'd been rehearsing on the road and he's like, hey, before I send you guys home, let's put this on tape.
The phrase I like to use, Mike, is at the end of the tour, they are firing on all cylinders.
Yeah.
So let's lay some music down. It's fantastic. I'll let you start it out.
Okay. This is Friend Better. This was a single from
So good. This is such a great song. If it plays, it's great.
Sounds good. There we go.
You need, 'cause it's clear to see. So you tried and you tried.
Have a little bit of a Motown down to London kind of.
Yep, absolutely.
Got your pride, let it slide, 'cause I'm not impressed. If you were to use your head, then you would just forget her. Listen to what the wise man said. Love her good, friend better. Love her good, friend better.
It's like if Frankenstein was singing.
Love her good, friend better.
I have a quirky song on my list called Dave.
Dave lives in a cave under a hill. From the sea, two cups of tea and rashers for breakfast. Well done, works until one, no need to run, just what he needs to live. Head like a sieve, still you can't call him a slave.
Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Dave. Now, that's in a cave.
Until they got him to take over for the president. Remember that?
Yeah, Dave. Sure.
I like that movie. I wonder if it holds up, Dave.
What would you give for Dave being president right now?
Oh, my God. Anything. Anything. Anyone named Dave. Literally anyone named Dave. If your name's Dave. Dave Grohl. Dave Letterman. Dave Festini. Whoever. I don't care. Someone. You're going to close it out with the new material.
Yeah, Fabulously Absolute.
I love it. It's not Absolutely Fabulous.
No, Fabulously Absolute.
Someone who doesn't know the score, or maybe blinded by the light, 'cause I'm a filthy troglodyte. If I was right and you were wrong, then I could sing another song. But I am wrong, you were right, and I don't want another fight. All for one.
Yeah, so pretty varied career, and you know, I'm still into what's coming next.
Yeah, me too.
Know.
He's
keeps you guessing.
Those last couple albums, it gets me excited for, you know, it's hard to get excited sometimes by new music by a veteran artist, but I still do get excited for this guy.
Yeah, yeah, but who knows when?
As long as
anybody's going to be touring again.
Yeah, as long as he doesn't throw that Symphony Volume 2 down my throat, I'll be fine with it.
I'm holding out for Symphony Number 8. I'm going to wait for that one.
Wait till you hear
Be
this.
My Number Symphony 8.
Now, our goal for today was to try to get this thing in.
Hey.
We're at one hour and 27 minutes. So we wrap it up, a play out, and we can go fry up some fish and get in the pool.
Fish, buddy. I forgot my suit. But I heard in this house, doesn't matter, buddy.
What do you got shorts on?
Yeah. But I
think I probably have something you can get into.
You know, this surprise. Did you ever see that onion photo?
No.
It's like this middle-aged guy in his pool, and he's just smiling, and it just says, pool owner has bathing suit that touched his penis, you can borrow. And every time someone says, you can borrow my suit, it's like, that just comes right to my head.
Well, you can get in the pool with your shorts.
Now,
but then
I got to leave tomorrow, and I don't have a washer dryer. I can't be doing this.
Yeah,
so I'm gonna be cooking. I got to cook.
I'll give you a pair of shorts.
That's okay. I'm cooking.
You're gonna cook the fish?
Yeah.
Oh, I love this even more now. Good. Okay.
Fish doesn't take long. It doesn't take long. It's more the prep work than the everything else.
All right. Well, we'll get down and we'll do it, and then Christy's coming over.
Yeah,
Christy Stratton.
That's why I really came over. This might be the only time I get to see her.
Until, what do you mean, forever?
I don't know.
Well, be careful in Montana now. You're putting a...
We tried to do this before, and she couldn't make it.
Oh, she's busy.
She's busy, yeah. She's hard to pin down.
The Travel Tales podcast is still in effect.
Still going. Talking about places we've been and hope to go soon, but not where we're at. Because, you know, what can we do?
I visited my living room.
Yeah.
You are at Funny Mike.
Funny Mike. FunnyMike.com for my reels and stuff like that. Funny Mike on Twitter, which I don't go to enough.
Instagram,
Travel Tales Podcast on Instagram. That's probably, you can see most of the stuff there. That and Facebook.
And then the Dry Bar Comedy Special.
It's still out there.
Jokes
will travel.
How do you know if people are purchasing it?
They send you quarterly. Purchasing.
Are you getting any coin from that?
Not yet. It's like a record contract. You have to work off the production cost.
Yeah.
And I'm not there yet. I was about 80% there last time I checked.
That's ridiculous.
So the tips, I think, are really going to that. You can tip on this, but it basically, you're working off your debt.
Okay. So like, I know Mike Schmidt purchased it, and I think he tipped you something good.
Yes. I didn't get that.
But you're not going to see it.
That goes right to the bill.
When I tell him that tomorrow night when we
watch... Don't tell him that.
When we watch Caddyshack and Animal House, which is what we're doing tomorrow.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. I haven't seen him in a long time.
You have? I could tell you every line.
Oh, I know every line too, but I haven't actually seen it.
Be interesting to see to go back. Like Caddyshack, they seem to play a lot on TV,
yeah.
At least on some of those. But Animal House, I don't see as much.
No, because I think Animal House is a little more filthy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
There's a lot of incorrectness in both of them, but I think, yeah.
More so in Animal House, I'm sure.
Written by Tom Kenny, both of them.
Rock
and Peace.
Harold Ramis is also listed as writer on both of those. Rock and Peace to Harold Ramis. Look over there, Ghostbusters 2. Who signed that album?
Harold Ramis?
That's right.
Uh-oh.
All right, we are at Rock Solid Show. I am at Pat _ Francis. Go to rocksolidpodcast.com for all things about the show. T-shirts, Patreon, Anything you want. You guys know where it is.
Yeah, come on. Give them some money, will you? What is it? $2 a month? What was it?
It could be $1.
Yeah, come on.
It could be a quarter.
Again, a cup of coffee.
If everybody that's listening would do a buck, I shut my fucking mouth. I shut my yapper. All right, this is a big one. This is
the first one.
Is she really going out with him?
We're ending it with his first single.
We are. All right, thanks. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, this was fun.
Here we go. That's not it.
That's not it.
That's still Friend Better.
Fail. There we go.
We have to record the whole show over because I fucked up that part.
Pretty women out walking with gorillas down my street. From my window I'm staring while my coffee goes cold. Look over there,
well,
there's a lady that I used to know. She's married now or engaged or something, so I'm told. Is she really going out with him? Is she really gonna take him home tonight? Is she really going out with him? Cause if my eyes don't deceive me, there's something going wrong around here. Tonight's the night when I go to all the parties down my street. I wash my hair and I kid myself, I look real smooth. Look over there,
well,
here comes Jeannie with her new boyfriend. They say the looks don't count for much, so there goes your proof. Is she really going out with him? Is she really gonna take him home tonight? Is she really going out with him? Cause if my eyes don't deceive me, there's something going wrong around here. Around here. But if looks could kill, there's a man. Let's take your hand.